Well, our third reading is from Luke's Gospel. It's Luke recording the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Luke chapter 2, just verses 1 through to verse 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world would be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Well, I don't want a lot for Christmas. There's just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. It's how Mariah Carey begins her Christmas anthem, isn't it? This year, it passed a billion streams on Spotify. That one song played over a billion times. On Spotify alone, that's not including CDs, radios, or other streaming platforms. As someone who once worked in retail over the Christmas period, I can tell you, it's a lot more than a billion times. It's not hard to see why it's so popular, is it? It's, look what Mariah Carey doesn't want for Christmas. She doesn't care about presents underneath the Christmas tree. She won't hang her stocking upon the fireplace. Santa Claus won't make her happy with toys on Christmas Day. She's not going to wish for snow. She won't make a list and send it to the North Pole for St. Nick. And she won't even stay awake to hear the magic reindeer click. It's an anti-commercialization of Christmas anthem. With all the tinsel, the lights, the mince pies, the extraordinary expenditure and the expectation of it all, the pressure of this season, it's not hard to see why Mariah Carey hits the spot year after year. Just give me a special person rather than anything else. Well, when we think about Christmas, the first Christmas, we see the most special person in the history of the earth. We see that God sends Jesus, not simply so that we can think about reindeer, presents, and trees, but so that he can have a relationship with us. Mariah, in a strange way, could be singing from God's perspective about us. All I want for Christmas is you. So let's have another look at this famous Christmas story. The reason at the heart of Christmas, and see just how much God wants us. We'll do it by having a look at the time, the place, and the way that Jesus' birth occurred. So to start with the time that it occurred. In our reading that we had just now, we had one of the things really obviously stated at the beginning, was that in the days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus, all the world would be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. It might not sound that significant, but when we consider that Luke is trying to set out an accurate account of what happened when Jesus came, it is living memory details like this that makes Luke so reliable. It's a bit like someone writing today, oh, this happened when Blair was Prime Minister, or when Ken Livingstone was Mayor of London. It's the type of detail that means it really happened. But more than this simply being an accurate account, if we think about when it happened, it also happened in God's perfect timing. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia had all at some point reigned over the known world at the time. And now it was Rome that reigned. They were the biggest of the empires. Jesus' people were simply the subjects, a tiny nation owned and dominated by a fierce force, an empire. But God's timing is perfect. For all the wondrous art, philosophy, beauty, poetry, architecture produced by kingdoms and empires that had ruled over Jesus' people, none had ever produced a savior. In fact, it's easy to look back at those times and assume that they probably weren't too different from our own when we think about the amazing things that they produced. If you've ever been to Rome, you'll know just how incredible the ancient world had been, and you think that the monuments they built, they're incredible. But of course, Jesus was actually born into a completely unrecognizable world to us today. It was a world of incredible brutality where the poor were made to fight each other to death as a spectator sport. Unwanted infants could be left at the roadside to die. Disobedient slaves were beaten and crucified. There's a German philosopher, Walter Benjamin, who said that a monument to civilization is, in fact, also a monument to barbarism. Every incredible feature in Rome that predates Christendom, the birth of Jesus, was almost certainly built on the backs and blood of slaves. Now, you may be thinking that this is pretty dark, not very Christmassy, and you'd be right. That is the times into which Jesus was born. And now the time had come for God to give a savior. Into darkness was born glorious light. Verse 6 of our reading, the time came for Mary to give birth. As God's perfect timing in creating the world had him speaking, let there be light into the darkness. Creation into emptiness. So the savior into a people that needed saving. You see, we need Jesus to be born to us. All of our Christmas lights in London, our slightly controversial tree in Trafalgar Square, your Christmas traditions, the beauty on display at this time of year. No matter how hard we celebrate, no matter how big our decorations get, no matter how detailed our Christmas roast spreadsheet is, nothing that we do this Christmas, nothing that we do can bring us into relationship with God. In fact, it's the natural desire of our hearts to seek out stuff rather than God, to love and worship created things over our Creator. If we were writing a Christmas hit from an honest perspective about our relationship with God, it would be "All I Want for Christmas is Things." Now, we might not think that this particularly applies to us. If we're sitting here thinking, well, we're not sure that we need a savior of any kind, and I don't think that I need Christ to have a good Christmas. Well, then there's some bad news this Christmas. The bad news is that we may be more like a Christmas tree than we would like to think. We'd be more like a Christmas tree than we'd like to think. What do I mean by that? You see, Christmas trees, they get sawn off at the roots, don't they? They get sawn off at the roots and they get brought inside our homes. They get decorated with all sorts of lights and tinsels and baubles and finery. But it doesn't change the fact that they're dying. They're dead. It's a foregone conclusion, isn't it? No matter how much we dress up the Christmas tree, it's a dead tree. And the Bible tells us that going our own way instead of God's way is a bit like being a Christmas tree, dead in our works, our transgressions, our sin. No matter what good we do, no matter how we dress it up, however many charitable donations we make at Christmas, no matter how much money we spend on gifts, we're a tree without any roots, no life. But with the bad news comes the good news of God's perfect timing, sending his son to save his people. This Christmas is a great time to see God's perfect timing gave a savior to a people in a great need of one. There's no better time than this to come to him. That's the time at which Jesus was born. Let's look at the place. All went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. Joseph takes his family to Bethlehem because of the census. Augustus making everyone get registered. Now, Caesar Augustus may have been thinking that he's taking stock of his empire, gathering data, able to move everyone back to their hometowns like at the drop of a hat, and it may have been quite a power trip for him. But he doesn't realize he's just a pawn in God's hand. It had been predicted 700 years previously in that reading from Micah that we had, that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, one who is to be a ruler, who would come forth from this city, Bethlehem. It was planned that the birth of Jesus would take place at this time, in this place, all the way along. Before Caesar Augustus was even born, God was planning on rescuing his people. That rescue was to begin in Bethlehem. You'll notice Bethlehem is called the city of David in our reading from Luke. This is because Jesus was to be born in the line of King David. The prophecies of the rescuer, the Messiah, the chosen Savior, say that he was to be born in Bethlehem. It all aligns to point to the fact that Jesus is our Savior. Now, I don't know what your favorite Christmas film is. Have you ever seen The Grinch? It's probably one of the strangest Christmas films. In it, this green chap, the Grinch, he tries to steal Christmas, to rob joy from everyone, to ensure that nobody can celebrate. In our own way, we are a little bit like the Grinch. Not that we try to steal Christmas, but the problem with the human race, really, is that we try to steal this entire world from God in going our own way. It's effectively what we do when we go our own way rather than God's way. It's what we do when we do wrong, when we do not love God or our neighbor. The place where Jesus was born tells us that he came to rescue us from the consequences of this heist. And he did so not by conquering with an army, not by subduing supernaturally, but by growing and dying on a cross for our sins. The way in which we go our own way and not God's way, those sins can be forgiven because of the Savior who was born in Bethlehem. Now let's finally look at the way that the birth occurred. And it's maybe not quite the way that we would expect. While they were there, that's in Bethlehem, the time came for Mary to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger because there was no room at the inn. Now, when we have our lovely nativity scene, it's always in a nice, cozy-looking stable, isn't it? It's because in our country, we put animals in the stable. Yeah, and a manger was used to lay Jesus down. A manger was used to feed animals, so it makes sense that Jesus would be in the stable. But of course, this didn't occur in our country. We have this word "inn" here, but it's more accurate that it was a guest room. So don't assume that there was some sort of angry innkeeper kicking them out and telling them to go away. It's more likely that the family homes would have had a guest room, but also a lower level room. There was a room where they kept animals. And that's where Jesus' birth was to have happened. This is all to say that Jesus' birth would have been highly unusual. Even if our picture of a Western stable isn't the most accurate, it captures some of the strangeness quite well, doesn't it? Can you imagine just the drama of this? Bethlehem being a small town, Mary arriving pregnant and leaving with a baby. They would have all known that the houses were bursting at the seams. The guest rooms were full to the brim. It would have been the talk of the whole town. The baby, where they had to put him in the manger. The baby, where Mary gave birth, where the animals were kept. The way in which Jesus was born was an unusual one. And because of that, it really does lend this historical backing to the birth. It really happened. There were witnesses. And in fact, it would have been pretty common knowledge all throughout the town. This would have been a pretty famous baby. If it had been made up, it would have been found out very, very quickly. This unusual birth happening in this unusual place at this specific time, in this specific place, leaves us with a decision to make. With the time, the place, and the way of Jesus' birth, what will we do with this? This Christmas. This Christmas, will Jesus be a bit like a nativity set to us? We get him out when it's convenient, the right kind of time of year. We put him on the side and enjoy him for a bit. But at the end of the Christmas holidays, we have no idea where Jesus actually has ended up. He's probably behind the sofa or something. And when it's time, we just put him back in the box and put him away for another year. Or is this year the year that we take Jesus seriously? Where we recognize that he was not only born, but that he died and was raised to life for us. And we're to orientate our lives around him. Will we settle for stuff? Sing "All I Want for Christmas is Things." Or this year, see that most played Christmas hit could actually be God singing, "All I want for Christmas is you. And in fact, I sent my son for you. Jesus, given for you that you may be saved." Do consider these things further. If you're watching online or here today, and, well, this is the first time that you've really put some thought into who Jesus is, we'd love you to explore these things further with us. We're doing a course in the new year called Hope Explored. It's 3 weeks. We'll be running it on Zoom. We'd love to invite you along and to bring your questions with you and to explore these things further. If you've got questions about what you heard tonight, we're going to take a moment and then continue our service together in prayer.